Missed an episode of your favorite podcast? Choose from over a decade of content in our archives. Not just the latest episode. All free at GCNlive.com.
Are you on Trump overload, perhaps? Certainly it seems like it, the last 5 days in particular, coming off of the debates last week, the conversation continues about Donald Trump. Kate Delaney hanging with all of you, and oh, what a week it's going to be on America Tonight. We're going to give away another computer. We gave away a computer last week. Excited to do that. Remember to go to kateontheroad.com. Kateontheroad.com. Put your name and address in. You'll see the spot for it. And you could win our next book giveaway. How cool is that? Might be you. You have a chance. Better odds than half of the other contests out there, by the way. Sad to say, shots were fired at a protest marking the anniversary of Michael Brown's death. See, now, what good does this do anybody? I don't get this. And we're talking about Ferguson. Can you believe it? It's been, yes, a year since the 18-year-old was killed. And there was a march in his honor, but then, of course, there was a protest that erupted in gunfire. And you had shots at 11:15 at night. Hundreds of people were gathering on West Florissant Avenue, which is where a lot of things take place in Ferguson. So it doesn't seem like anyone was injured. Thank goodness, that's the good thing. But I don't get it. Can't we just get along? Of all the things that people are telling us to believe in, unicorns flying backwards and everything else, can we not just get along in this situation? Renewed protests, but before they were peaceful, so that's okay. Now block traffic, confront police, throw a glass bottle at the cops. What is that doing? It's certainly not honoring Michael Brown. If the message is to honor him, that's not doing it. That's the opposite of honoring Michael Brown. The opposite of it, without a doubt. In the meantime, also, Frank Gifford, if you watched any Monday Night Football ever in your life, you remember him. Definitely iconic. I think as much for broadcasting, maybe more than playing. I mean, he's a Hall of Fame player, so there's no doubt he has cred there. But I'm thinking of the ages of people that most would remember him from the broadcast booth. Monday Night Football. He was there with Dandy Don and Howard Cosell, and then later Dan Dierdorf. And his wife, of course, is Kathy Lee Gifford, who's on that second show, I think, to the Today Show. I don't know what it's called. Probably the Today Show. And they had been married for quite some time. They had two kids, or they have two kids. So they say he died of natural causes. In his sleep, didn't wake up. That's what it was. So 12 years with the Giants, 8 Pro Bowl appearances, MVP in 1956. You know, and this was something I didn't know either, because he had spent so much time as a broadcaster. But he got an Emmy in 1976 for Outstanding Sports Personality. And then in 97, he was somebody who got a Sports Emmys Lifetime Achievement Award. And he did a few cameo appearances on TV and all that stuff. But I think he's most remembered for, and probably some of you out there that might be football fans know, Monday Night Football. I mean, that got people, that put probably all of them on the map, because it got people to watch on Monday, that it wasn't just a Sunday game anymore. People were into it. They were tuning in on Monday. They were making it an event, and that's what they turned it into. It was an event television. without a doubt, and he was part of that. He was absolutely part of that. So Frank Gifford dies at the age of 84. It's not unusual. I mean, there's lots of people that die at 84, so we're not talking about a 45-year-old man. They say he was in pretty decent, you know, decent shape, and this was not, he wasn't any kind of illness, none of that kind of stuff. Nothing like that. And, you know, we talk about the dangers, and maybe it's because of the whole thing with sharks, about sharks and sharks attacking people. And this year we saw that in North Carolina. We saw some kids lose limbs. It was brutal. But what's going on with the grizzly bear? I happen to see a blurb on this, that at least one grizzly bear was killed and partially eaten, had eaten a hiker in Yellowstone National Park. They say the man's body was found Friday, and though the exact cause of death isn't known, it's pretty clear as to what happened there. Pretty clear. And then, doesn't this beat all, when we talk about people who keep their heads down in the little screen, I mean, even if you go to the movies now, they talk about, don't keep the little screen on because you're looking at the big screen. Well, then this story comes out. A Spanish man dies Sunday after being gored in the neck. And you know why? Filming a bull running through the streets of a town in central Spain with his mobile phone. Oh, so he was filming it and then was plowed over. He was right on the path of the bull run. Terrible. Usually it's because somebody was taunting it or they didn't know what they were doing. But if it's just because they were randomly, hey, I'm going to film this. And we've seen this in other areas too, where somebody's gone to take a waterfall picture or something else, and then they fall off. They've only had 15 people. This is amazing. They've only had 15 people killed in bull runs in Pamplona since 1911. And Pamplona, you have so many people from other places that end up over there. So that tells you something. I mean, for sure. Oh, brutal. If you think about the bulls and you think about them running through the street, oh, I'm going to get this moment. I mean, do it from overhead. For goodness sake, versus now I'm going to take my chance. I'm going to jump down and see how close I can get. I've seen that. I've seen people narrow. I saw somebody one time narrowly escape falling off a train platform. Oh, somebody reached out and literally grabbed the person, or they were going back into the rails. I mean, just falling off the concrete giant platform, and that would have been it probably right there. And just a quick reach, like on the collar, pulling them in fast. That's what prevented that. Craziness. And then there's this. I talked about Trump and how much publicity can Donald Trump get. Coming off of the debate, he loses one percentage point in the NBC poll, but he's head and shoulders above his closest competitor. Well, what does that tell you? All right, stay with us. Coming up, the re-rack.
Virtually anyone can hack your cell phone and track your calls, your texts, your emails, your every movement, but only if they can detect a signal. Stay one step ahead of hackers and Big Brother with a Blockit Pocket, a custom-made pocket infused with pure silver that creates a complete Faraday enclosure for your cell phone. For free shipping to the Lower 48, visit BlockitPocket.com or call 888-315-9618. BlockitPocket.com, enhancing health and privacy.
Would you like to use your IRA funds to buy precious metals and hold them at home? Are you wary of the stock market, paper gold, or faraway depositories? With a checkbook IRA, you may legally take custody of IRA-owned gold and silver. Visit CheckbookIRA.com and learn how IRA owners in all 50 states have already taken control. CheckbookIRA.com. CheckbookIRA.com.
Friends, this is Alex Jones for MidasResources.com. For more than 15 years, I have exclusively used Midas Resources for all my precious metal needs. Whether it's bullion or collectibles you're looking for, Midas Resources is simply the best. I own my gold as a hedge against inflation. This Federal Reserve fiat currency could go the way of the Deutschmark and the Weimar Republic anytime. In these historically dangerous times, it makes sense to physically hold gold and silver. Midas already has some of the best deals in the industry. But if you give them a call and mention the radio special, they will give you a list of the day's super specials. Midas brokers are standing by to answer all your questions at 800-686-2237. They also have a lot of informative free literature explaining the opportunities and risk of holding precious metals. They are ready to answer your questions at 800-686-2237. Again, that's 800-686-2237.
Affordable health insurance was the promise of Obamacare, but for many, the government mandate caused more problems than it solved. And I want to tell you about a truly affordable alternative, Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare bypasses doctor and hospital panels, giving you the freedom to choose 100% coverage up to $1 million per year per occurrence, which includes dental, vision, pharmacy, and holistic care. Call 1-800-714-6993, 1-800-714-6993, 1-800-714-6993 today.
The human body is more than 60% water. Your brain and muscles are 75% water. And your blood is 92% water. Water is vital to your body, and alkalizing your water is the key to keep it running at its best. AlkaVision Plasma pH drops keep your entire body healthy, boosts energy, promotes weight loss, and even fights cancer. Call 800-518-7615 or go to AlkaVision.com to find out more. That's ALKAVision.com.
Right now, I don't think we gave him too much Red Bull. I'm not sure about that. He's the complete opposite of many of us on the third shift who kick it into high gear a little bit later in the evening. Eric Peters is our guest, and he is a libertarian. He is self-professed libertarian gearhead. He writes about cars, energy, and freedom. Here's what I like. If you go to Eric Peters autos.com, because I'm an auto freak anyway, but if you go there, man, you will learn things that will make your eyes roll around in the back of your head, including some of the stuff that we've been talking about. What is the deal with biodiesel, which is being shoved down our throat, and who is really profiting from it? He calls it the Kool-Aid of the farm lobby, and I agree. Eric, thanks for hanging with us.
Oh, no problem. Thanks for having me on the show.
So, of course, now there's a lot of conversation about this, especially with the Iowa caucuses and all that stuff, and we're right into the thick of it. It seems like every day Hillary Clinton is in Iowa. So to be these politicians in modern times, you just is that what they do? They just, all right, look, we got to go along with biodiesel, or we got to go along with ethanol. We keep hearing about the ethanol factor, but there's not even enough plants to manufacture what we would need, right?
Well, the interesting thing is that the lobby contributes equally to both political parties, and so in that way they've got both their bases covered. It really doesn't matter from their point of view which one gets elected, because ultimately it seems to be it's their guy or perhaps their woman, depending on how things turn out.
Yeah, so when you look at renewables, what specifically bothers you the most?
Well, let's see. Let's start with, we're told often about how advantageous it is to use these renewables, but if they're so advantageous, then why does the government have to force them down our throats? I've drawn the parallel with, I like to go to Chipotle way, your listeners may like Chipotle and get a burrito or a bowl there. And Chipotle doesn't send a lobbyist to Washington to have the government carve out a subsidy for Chipotle burritos because people like them and they're willing to buy them without any coercion involved. And I wonder why that same standard doesn't apply to these biofuels. If there's such a good idea, it shouldn't be necessary for the government to be involved.
Yeah, and I would say the other thing is, if it's such a good idea, then let's let the politicians drive around only on biofuels and really push that to all their constituents, which, of course, you know that's not happening, unless it's advantageous to them and they're in the breadbasket area or they're in areas where that's being pushed because of the corn lobbies there, then that's a whole different story. So it is about the power of the purse, isn't it?
Yeah, and that's a very valid point. Similarly, with regard to Obamacare and various other things that they pass, they exempt themselves from it, and that's rather telling. You know, if it's not good for the goose, it shouldn't be good for the gander. The other point that I would make is that it does cause food prices to rise, simply because a lot of the potential food that could be produced for animal or human consumption, specifically with regard to ethanol, the corn, with regard to biodiesel, soybeans, is diverted to the production of these biofuels, and as a result of that, the cost of food goes up. So we're paying more for food and we're paying more for fuel.
Yeah, beef specifically would cost more. As I know, I'm in beef land in Dallas, and then it costs more, as I was talking to a farmer the other day, it costs more to ship that too, right?
Sure, because ethanol and biodiesel, it's less energy dense, so you have to burn more of it to go the same distance. So the truckers have to spend more on fuel to get from A to B, and the stuff that they're hauling costs us more because it's cost more to produce it.
Yeah, and then here's the other part of this, Eric. What about older cars? What does that do to older cars when you're talking about using these alternatives?
Well, ethanol has been a disaster for older vehicles, which were not designed to accommodate high alcohol content fuels. Most of the ethanol that's sold right now is E10, meaning that the gas you buy is 10% ethanol. They're pushing for E15, which would be 15% ethanol, and they're also looking down the road at E85. Which is 85% ethanol. Alcohol is a corrosive fuel, and if the vehicle's fuel system is not designed specifically to accommodate it, you get all kinds of problems. One of the big ones is that it attracts moisture, and moisture is a big enemy of your fuel system. It causes fuel lines to rot out, and it's in particular playing havoc with people who have marine engines and so on, and power sports, lawn equipment and what have you. It's been really, really tough on those things.
Yeah, so when we look at that all combined, and then you look at the auto industry, and if you're producing new cars, I guess it depends on what it is you're producing and where you're at. But that could be a disaster, too, as well, for many in the auto industry, especially when they're in that, what I call the second-hand market, when we're talking about, like, used cars, right?
Yeah, it's accelerating the obsolescence of the older cars because it's increasing the wear and tear on them and getting them out of the market. And the other side of the coin is that, to get back to the point about being less energy dense, your fuel efficiency goes down when you're using these fuels. And that's rather ironic because we're constantly told about how imperative it is that we get higher efficiency and more miles per gallon, and yet the government is force-feeding fuels that are less fuel efficient on the public.
Yeah. All right. I'd be remiss, Eric, if I didn't ask you this. We're speaking to Eric Peters. You can check him out at ericpetersautos.com. You know, you write about cars, and I saw a picture of you on a motorcycle. What's your favorite chariot to ride in? What do you like the best?
Cars or bikes?
Bikes.
Okay, I've got an old Kawasaki two-stroke triple, and for people who are familiar with those, in particular the H2 750 that was made in the early mid 70s, and they are were known as the Widowmaker back in the day because of their power curve, and there's nothing that quite makes the sound of a Kawasaki two-stroke triple on its power curve. There are bikes today that are much faster and much quicker, but they're much more controlled. As Hunter Thompson would say, it takes a real man to ride an old Kawasaki two-stroke triple.
I love that. How do you feel about, I know you wrote about this, you know, if you go to your website, you can read all this stuff, but you wrote about the Toyota Camry hybrid. A lot of people are talking about hybrids and what does that mean and should I get a hybrid and how much does it cost to me? And what did you find with the Camry?
Well, I find, now, I think the technology is impressive and interesting, but despite all the hobbles that have been put on them by the government, you can get diesels that will do as well or better for significantly less money. With all due respect to Toyota, and I like the Camry, it's a good car, you can pick up something like a Volkswagen Jetta TDI diesel for about $5,500 less than the base price of the Camry hybrid. And in real-world driving, and I drive these cars for a living, and so I can tell you from personal experience, you will match the mileage of the hybrid, in particular if you drive a lot on the highway, which most people tend to do, for less money with less hassle. So I'm very impressed with some of the diesel cars that are on the market right now.
Yeah. When you go out, because obviously, you know, you ride a lot, and if you're on your bike, do you have a favorite route that you take?
Yeah, I live out here in the sticks of rural southwest Virginia, and there's a road just down the road from me called Bent Mountain, and it's a series of S-turns that goes about 2-3 miles from about 1,500 feet at the valley floor all the way up to about 3,000 feet in that relatively short distance, and it's the finest test track you'll find on the East Coast, in my opinion.
Wow. So, you know, I said this in the beginning, too, mixing in the politics of the libertarian bent. When you look at the fact that on Thursday we got 10 people on a stage of the Republican debate, is there anyone in that crowd that you like?
Unfortunately not. Unfortunately not. You know, it's really kind of daunting and sad to look at that field and not find anybody that's really simpatico. And the reason, as a libertarian, that's the case is I'm not looking to tell anybody what to do. I would just like to leave everybody alone and ask the same in return.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, none of those guys are willing to do that.
Yeah, it looked like Rand Paul, you know, initially, when Rand Paul jumped into the Senate, it looked like he was going in that direction, but now that's switched, I think.
I think so, too, unfortunately. Of course, you know, on the other side of the fence, it's none too appealing either.
Yeah, so then what do you do? I mean, it comes down to this. I say this all the time because I'm always pushing for the third party. But, you know, when it comes to voting, do you just say, well, I got to sit this out because how can I – who am I voting for?
Well, there's lots of arguments to be made on that, but one of them that I think is pretty persuasive is by just withdrawing your consent. They desperately need the illusion, if not the actuality, of consent. That is the idea that most people have supported one or the other candidates, but when you break it down, particularly at the presidential level, what is it, something like about half the eligible voter pool votes, so that's about 50%. And then the winner typically wins by about 25%. So you've got a relatively small minority of the actual eligible voters who actually wind up selecting the president. So despite all the talk about democracy, majority rule, in fact, the minority rules.
Yeah, isn't that crazy? And if you, like you said, if you do the math, it's simple math, then you realize what's really happening. Yeah,
exactly.
Really, really, really sad. Fun to talk to you, though, Eric Peters. Thanks for hanging late with us. And again, check him out at ericpetersautos.com. Thanks.
Thanks for having me on.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
You betcha. Bye-bye.
And nothing to see. Sometimes I feel like something is gone here. Something is wrong here.
Everyone says or does something silly once in a while. But once that embarrassing thing is on the internet, it can spread like a terrible rash. Put it to rest. Get a free expert analysis today from Reputation.com. It only takes 30 seconds. 800-831-0771. We protect your online image by helping to make sure that when people search for you or your business, they find the most current, accurate information possible. Reputation.com. Because word travels fast. Call for a free analysis today. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771.
Now, a twice as nice Twin Kit special offer from Complete H2O Minerals for all GCN listeners. Get a Complete H2O Minerals Twin Kit with 33 different minerals, vitamins, and amino acids all in a liquid form. Enough for two people for 1 month. Regular price, $89.95. But now Complete H2O Minerals is offering the Twin Kit for $69.95. And all GCN listeners receive a bonus 16-ounce bottle of Ionic Silver absolutely free with free shipping. A $120 total value. Hurry, limited time offer. Call 803-794-4767 or click CompleteH2OMinerals.com.
Great minds think alike. The network for the independent minded. The Genesis Communications Network. GCN.
If you're worried about your health and you're tired of the nasty side effects of harsh drugs or antibiotics, then look no further. Supernatural Silver is the answer. Supernatural Silver is a powerful immune system enhancer that can be used every day to help keep you healthy and well with none of those nasty side effects. It's extremely safe for use internally as well as topically. And Supernatural Silver is hundreds of times more effective than colloidal or ionic silver. It is perfect for use in the sinuses, eyes, ears, and on any wound or skin issue. Supernatural Silver is also extremely effective when taken orally and can help fight off bacteria, viruses, and mold that may be overwhelming your immune system. Go to SupernaturalSilver.com. SupernaturalSilver.com and use the promo code Silver2015 for 30% off of your entire order and give yourself and your loved ones a fighting chance with Supernatural Silver.
We use mobile devices right against our bodies every day, but growing scientific evidence has emerged showing serious health risks associated with exposure to EMF radiation emitted from these devices. The solution is Defender Shield, the most effective mobile radiation shielding ever developed. Defender Shield blocks virtually 100% of EMF radiation from cell phones, tablets, and laptops, and starts at just $64.99. Buy now at DefenderShield.com. For 10% off, use promo code GCN. DefenderShield.com, the worldwide leader in mobile radiation shielding.
Everyone says or does something silly once in a while. Even very smart, very accomplished people. It's part of being human. A quote taken out of context, a legal problem, an unfortunate photograph. Once that embarrassing thing is on the internet, it can spread like a terrible rash. Because people love to dig up dirt, even when it's not real dirt. Put it to rest. Call for a free expert analysis today from Reputation.com. It only takes 30 seconds. 800-831-0771. Businesses, public figures, and professionals turn to Reputation.com for good reason. We protect your online image by helping make sure that when people search for you or your business, they find the most current, accurate information possible. Reputation.com. Because word travels fast. Learn more about what the experts at Reputation.com can do for you. Call for a free analysis today. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771.
Healthy, organic, fresh fish. Robust, mouth-watering vegetables. All from your home. It's called aquaponics. This brilliant, self-sustaining protein and veggie system is perfect for year-round growing. Know exactly where your food is coming from. AquaponicsSource.com is the one-stop shop for all your needs. Fish, fish food, plumbing, full systems, classes, and more. Learn to build your own system. Go to AquaponicsSource.com for a free guide to aquaponics. That's AquaponicsSource.com.
In 1965, this was the South. Come on, this is done. One more time. One more time. One more time. Pray to see. Metal Jack. Papa's got a brand new bag. Come on, mama.
Is it no longer a fling, but a love affair with Donald Trump? Hardly for some, but for others, hey, they like his brand of what you get is what you see. In the meantime, Bernie Sanders is tearing it up. Unfortunately, because of a little protest that broke out in Seattle, where there were 15,000 people that came out to see Bernie Sanders, they were sent packing. Because the disruption was too much. You could barely hear him when he was on stage. So, too much fuss, and it was no mas for all those people who had come out to see Bernie Sanders. But definitely he has the biggest crowd so far to anybody out there, anybody, Republican or Democrat, who are on the stump trying to get your vote, trying to have you recognize them in 2016. So that's where we stand when it comes to politics. And the politics of Trump, because that's what it is. All weekend long, that's all anybody was talking about. Trump, Trump. Is he anti-woman? Was he nasty to Megyn Kelly? What did he mean with some of his comments? Why won't he apologize? And then Trump will come out and say, no, I love women. They're great. They're great business people. Philanthropists or whatever he may say. So I don't think he's losing any sleep over it. I don't think he is. And in the meantime, one of the places where he would be jabbed and appear would be Comedy Central. And Jon Stewart left that gig last week to no less than Bruce Springsteen. How does he rate Bruce Springsteen coming on the show to play him out? Wow. I thought that was pretty big. I happened to see a little snippet of that. I just couldn't believe it. Frank Gifford, to bring that full circle in case you missed what I was saying at the beginning, Frank Gifford, definitely iconic. Certainly, I think even a little bit beyond football, but because of Monday Night Football, especially probably more than anything, but a Hall of Famer, Frank Gifford dies at the age of 84. So one less gold jacket in the Hall, 166 now, there was 167, there are 295 bronze busts, and he has a bronze bust in the Hall of Fame. So Frank Gifford dying in his sleep, natural causes. And I'm sure there'll be more people talking about stories they remember Monday night, snafus and funny moments and that kind of stuff. But he had a interesting life, that's for sure. And I think I told this story, but if I haven't, I'll just tell it quickly. Somehow my father, who died when I was 8, was a writer, and my mother and my father lived in New York, and they knew Frank Gifford, somehow casually knew Frank Gifford and his first wife, and they would there was a jazz clubs in Soho. They would go to the jazz clubs and listen to jazz, and I guess he really, really liked jazz. And I can remember my mom saying that he was a really nice guy and didn't talk too much about football, wasn't talking about that, was really into the music and would talk more about the music than anything else. And there are other people that say, oh, yeah, he absolutely used to go to the jazz clubs, and that was sort of one of his passions, if you will. But anyway, that's my story to share that I knew of Frank Gifford outside of football and outside of the broadcast booth. And this to me is a stunning development, pretty scary stuff, I have to say, that you have 108 people who have contracted Legionnaire's disease in New York. Nothing to trifle with, obviously. No new deaths, but 10 so far since then. So really 94 people have been admitted to the hospital since the outbreak started. It happened June 10th in the South Bronx, which of course is one of the poorer areas. They think the outbreak came from one of the sites. There's these 5 buildings in the South Bronx area, and they think that's where the bacteria had, because it had been discovered in the cooling towers of 5 buildings in the South Bronx. So there you go. If you look at the where it could have come from, they traced it there. And I mean, it's a serious pulmonary deal. It's this bacteria that thrives in warm water, like the kind found in hot water pipes, air conditioning systems, industrial ponds, that kind of things. And so infection happens from inhaling the drops of contaminated water. And the incubation period lasts 2 to 10 days. So the signs, and this is what they started to see in the Bronx, if you have the symptoms, fever, coughing, shortness of breath, all of that kind of stuff, are signs of Legionnaire's disease. Oh, awful. I mean, what do you do? Legionnaire's disease isn't contagious. You can treat it with antibiotics. The people who died were older people, and they had pre-existing medical conditions. But like the mayor said, it's uncharted territory, that they've never seen an outbreak of Legionnaires like that in the city, but that it looks like it's tapering off anyway. Because what are you going to do? You got to just fight it with the antibiotics. I mean, that's the only thing you can do. Terrible, though. Mm. All right, and again, in the efforts to bring things full circle, too, two boys who were lost, and maybe they're lost at sea. We don't know that for sure. But the two 14-year-olds from Florida, their parents have called off the search for the two kids, only saying that they hope that they would be returned to them. And so I think they're just thinking all kinds of things or possibilities of what could have happened there. And who knows? We just don't know. So we can speculate that something happened, they fell over, something unexpected happened, but we just don't know. And they never were able to find bodies or recover them, obviously. And so the parents who went on their own, because other people had raised money for them, they went on their own for a search, decided that they, too, had to say that they had to call it off. Because how could they sustain that? And the answer is they couldn't. I mean, they could be looking forever. And what rocks are you looking under? There's no rocks to look under. It's like a needle in a haystack. So not good, needless to say, not good. All right, how about this story? Since I'm kind of doing this odds and ends thing here, there's a guy that served 35 years in prison, even though he wasn't convicted, and now he's getting a trial. I mean, are you kidding me? For more than 35 years, he'd been in prison, even though an appeals court threw out his conviction on a 76 murder charge that initially had him on death row. So 59-year-old Jerry Hartfield, they say, is going to return to court for a retrial, facing a life sentence if convicted of killing a woman who sold tickets to a Bay City bus station. So now there's massive arguments over who's to blame and whether he had for the whole right to a speedy trial was violated, but the judge wouldn't dismiss the indictment, and, they checked his IQ. His IQ is 67, and that's below the 70 they consider to be mentally impaired, and the list of why and what happened go on and on. But Hartfield was 21 in June of 1977 when he was convicted of murdering Eunice Lowe, who's 55 years old, a ticketing agent who was beaten with a pickaxe, stabbed with a glass soda bottle, and robbed. She was raped after she was dead. Her car and about $3,000 were stolen in this attack at a Bay City bus station about 100 miles southwest of Houston, to give you an idea of where it is. And a Texas Court of Criminal Appeals overturned the capital murder conviction in 1980 because of a jury selection problem and ordered a new trial. But 3 years later, the then Governor Mark White commuted his sentence to life in prison. Ugh. Boy, and for the family, is that not like opening old wounds? I mean, are you kidding me? To have to go through that? Especially based on everything that happened. So those are the details. That's not a good thing. Go through that whole rigmarole, plus the cost of it, plus everything that goes into it. I mean, come on. And what's so weird is if convicted again, he would immediately be eligible for parole under the Texas law at the time of his original crime. So go figure. I mean, go figure. Does that make any sense? And then there's this story to cap things off. A man killed by police in a shootout killed his neighbor. There were a couple of odd things lately that have happened. And this is in North Carolina, like I said. The injuries to the officers weren't life-threatening. A number of cops rushed to a neighborhood around 9:30 Saturday after getting these 911 calls about a man shot to death and another man still in the area with a gun. That's what happened. The suspected gunman was on a street corner, armed with a pistol and a rifle, and fired on the officers. He was killed when they fired back. Stay with us.
Are you tired of commuting to a job that makes someone else rich, working harder than ever, but getting nowhere? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare, having someone else raise your children? With our opportunities, you can start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss, work from home, and live a happier life. At Be the Boss Network, you'll find hundreds of work-from-home opportunities that you can literally start today and be earning money as soon as next week. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss. Get out of the rat race. Work from home. Go to freedom106.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom, the number 106.com. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You be the boss. Go to freedom106.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Thousands of people seeking home security get ripped off every day, and the home security industry wants you to believe that's your only option. They've got hordes of salesmen out there trying to scare you into signing one of their long-term contracts. You get stuck writing huge checks month after month with no way out. It's robbery by contract, and it can cost you thousands. But there's a better way to protect your home. SimpliSafe Home Security. SimpliSafe has no contracts. None. You'll get award-winning 24/7 protection, security professionals watching over your home, ready to instantly send police to the rescue for just $14.99 per month. That's less than half what most companies charge. Protect your home the smart way. Visit SimpliSafeDefense.com today for an exclusive 10% offer and get a free keychain remote worth $25. Only when you go to SimpliSafeDefense.com. SimpliSafeDefense.com.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state in back taxes, you know they'll never stop coming after you. With bank levies, wage garnishments, they'll even seize your home or business. The good news? A government program for tax debt forgiveness. It's called the Fresh Start Initiative.
I'm Paul Sedley. With U.S. Tax Shield, we can help navigate the new laws, get you protected, and resolve your tax issues permanently.
Call the experts at U.S. Tax Shield now for your free consultation and get a guaranteed quote to resolve your case. Call 800-436-6451. That's 800-436-6451.
Before, and the importance of getting your eyes tested. As someone who thought that I had Wonder Woman vision and I could, you know, spot a parking space miles away, when I finally hit that wall where I had eye trouble, it was like kicking and screaming. I went to the eye doctor. Now I would never miss my yearly appointment, and some of you can relate to that. So I don't know what that is about us, that we have this bravado if we've had great eyesight about, ooh, I don't need glasses, not yet. But one thing we're seeing for sure, especially because we live in this computer technology age, we're seeing a lot of younger people, I know this in my nieces, in having a problem with nearsightedness, and it started young, where, you know, they were on that road wearing glasses, and they would never, again, this is that whole thing about getting your eyes tested, they would never miss those eye appointments because of how important it is and what it does to kids when they're in school and they're trying to focus and they can't focus. So he's been on with us before. It's been a while, but Dr. Albert Pang, optometrist, joins us. He's in our virtual green room. I don't think he's taken eye tests, but Dr. Pang. I love the eye test, by the way. Can you see it? You know, because you know this, Dr. Pang. When we're sitting in your chair, we think it's a test and we want to get it right. We're trying to say we can see all those letters. You know that, right?
Yes, of course, everyone have that idea. But when they sit down on a chair, when they look at the bottom line, it's kind of a surprise to them that they cannot see the smallest letter.
Exactly. They want a cheat sheet from you, Doc. Give us a cheat sheet so we know what we're saying. We have no idea. But
hey, everything have a price.
Yes.
So if the price is right, it gives you the right answer.
I love that you're playing along. That's great. So it's really as serious, though, with these kids. Is this because, why are we seeing this spike in nearsighted kids under the age of five? Why are we seeing that?
Well, two things. I think, unfortunately, our world is becoming more of an indoor environment, indoor culture. That's what I'm talking about. How many times that you see, you know, children now, the parents is giving them a electronic device, either iPad, iPhone, and ask them to play the game, and then instead of going out to the outdoor to play outside, everyone is now playing inside with all the electronic devices. So that's one thing. And also the other thing is, the other extreme is, like, I think the society, the community is getting so competitive. We always try to get ahead of others. And so we are asking our 5 years old to, or 4 years old even, to try to learn how to read, to learn how to recognize the alphabet, and give them books to read before the age of 4 and 5, and so that they were able to get ahead of others when they get to the school. So these are the two things, electronic devices, and then we are trying to push our kids to read earlier. Those are the two areas that I think contribute to all those nearsightedness kids coming around.
Wow. So is there anything we can do about that? Like you said, maybe better to send the kids to play outside and get away from the computers and the tablets a little bit, right?
Yeah, it's so important now that we're really ignoring the fact is all those good old activities of, you know, getting crazy outdoor, you know, playing around, you know. I don't know about you, but when I was growing up, I was much older than you are, Kate. But when we are growing up, we do spend a lot of time, like during the summertime, we spend a lot of time outdoor doing all the crazy stuff, and then we go out in the morning, and then we go back at night for dinner. And then, you know, most of the time we spend outdoor, but now all the children are reversed. They are all spending the time indoor and instead of out. It's so important for us to spend a good portion of the children's life outdoor to kind of give them an idea, I mean, give them a good peripheral vision. And that is how the normal development of the eyes needed. If you're always looking at the screen, only using the central vision, ignoring the peripheral vision, that's where the nearsightedness kick in.
Oh, that's a good tip for everybody out there listening, too. We're speaking with Dr. Albert Pang, optometrist, Trinity Eye Care. You can go to trinityeyecare.com. So, Doc, that's the same for all of us, too, right? Then we need to maybe take breaks during the day and try to get off the screens. But, you know, you walk around, you go to lunch, you go to dinner, and you see people with their heads in their iPhones the whole time.
Yeah, that's right. And if there's any way that we can do it, you know, first of all, we look at our work environment. When we are staring at a computer, do not sit too close. We need to have a good working distance from the computer so that we have, you know, again, same thing we're talking about is the peripheral vision. So when you look at a computer, you need to have as many exposure to the peripheral as possible. Do not turn off the light when you are looking at a computer, because you need to use the peripheral vision portion of the eye to stimulate the overall vision. And same thing when you're looking at the phone, don't get it too close. Hold it further out. Expose yourself to peripheral vision. I do not know whether you heard of this saying is, nearsightedness is not induced by your central portion of the eye. It's not the 20/20 portion that causes nearsightedness. It's the periphery, it's the side vision that is contribute to your nearsightedness. So try not to obscure or cover your peripheral vision. That's what I'm trying to say. You know, have a good distance so you're still exposed to your peripheral vision.
Oh, that's a good tip there, too, Doc. How about as far as people getting eye tests? Do you find, you know, joking about this in the beginning, but it's true, that we all kind of drag our heels in coming to see the eye doctor. But it, really, once you get into that, you have to go yearly, don't you?
Yeah, I would say, you know, definitely, especially anyone that is, you know, again, either the young or the old or the middle age need to have the eye check regularly, and a lot of pathology eye diseases start, you know, coming in at after 40. And for children, the early ages, because it's so vital for them for their learning, we always, you know, confuse our by the term eyesight and vision. Eyesight is how good you can see, whether you have 20/20 vision. Vision is encompassed the whole visual system. How you use both eyes together, how you're able to have depth perception, how you converge or diverge your eye. In other words, how the mechanic of the eye work together. The eyesight is only part of the picture. It's only to tell you how good you can see centrally, but they never tell you how good you're able to work two eyes as a system together. You probably heard the people say they read, they have headache, they see double vision, word kind of swim around, jump around. That is the binocular vision, because the two eyes do not work together.
Wow. Yeah, so that's what you got to pay attention to. In your years of doing this, you've seen massive changes in optometry. What is your favorite piece of equipment or the thing that's made life easier in really narrowing down what someone's problem is and how you need to adjust their eyesight?
I think, you know, with all the year go by, with all the technology, still to be honest with you, is more to do with asking the patient. I don't think the equipment will be able to replace any of the intuition that the doctor and the patient have. I think a lot of time on the to answer the questions, on the contrary, we are now depending so much on devices to test the eye, forget about the most important thing is asking the patients. Up to now, I think I get the most information by asking the parents about the children, by asking the patient himself how they feel, how they experience, and then we were able to find out what is the reason of the problem. Devices usually were not able to give me that much of information as much as the first 10 minutes, 15 minutes when I talk to the patients. Again, you know, good old, you know, the old good doctor thing is, you know, you talk to the patient, you find out a lot more thing than just depends on your stethoscope or your auto devices that you can get information from.
Yeah, so it's important then for people listening all around the country and in Texas, et cetera, that when you go, you just be as honest as you can, what you're feeling,
right,
what you see with your eyes. Is it just reading like you mentioned? Is it more than that? Or when you read the charts, that's why you tested the lenses in so many different ways, right,
right,
Doc? Because that's the only way you can come up with a plan.
Yeah, tell us about how you use your eyes. If you're fearful about, you know, you're losing your eyesight, tell us why you have this fear. Because a lot of time when we dig deeper, you know, we were able to find out, you know, one of the family members have this kind of condition or that kind of condition. And those conditions that run in the family tend to also run in the patient themselves. So we were able to get a lot more information by the patient really honestly tell us their fear, how they use their eye, what is the major problem that they're encountering. That really helps us a lot more than, you know, the data that we collect.
Yeah, great stuff. Dr. Albert Pang, thanks so much. We'll talk to you again, Doc.
All right, good.
Hi, Peter Vaccaro for ParanormalDate.com. Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Now you have a chance to change that by signing up for free at ParanormalDate.com. This incredible dating site puts people of like minds together. People who are interested in the strange, the unusual, mysteries, ghosts, UFOs, and the afterlife, and so much more. ParanormalDate.com was developed for you, people seeking a viable alternative to the other dating services. You can join for free by going to ParanormalDate.com, and if you decide you like it and want to connect with people, use the code GEORGE for a substantial discount. Mark Rawlings, president of ParanormalDate.com, says so many people hunger to share their experiences about the paranormal, the unexplainable, or the afterlife, and so much more, and this is the source for them to meet and share that common interest. So sign up for free at ParanormalDate.com, ParanormalDate.com, and use the code George if you decide to connect with someone you like.